So if we understand this, if you understand this, the homes that the Amalekites and Ammonites and these other gods would build would also have influences of evil. And God was clear. I want you to eradicate the idols out of your house. I want you to cut down the high places. I want you to remove the places of worship unto idols. I want you to burn them. I don't want you to have anything to do with them. If you do, they will be a snare unto you. Understand, the Bible says, lay aside the weights and the sin. There are some things you can't, your pastor can't qualify as being a sin so much, but there are snares. That if you don't take care of those things, when God deals with your heart, they will always be a troublesome thing to you. And you're wondering, why don't I have victory? Why can everyone worship God? I'm just stuck like a bump along. Because there are some things that God says, if you don't kill them, they're going to kill you. If you don't eradicate them, they're going to eradicate you. He was very specific about this. And if you know that, you will understand that according to ancient Jewish writings and Jewish history, that these idol worshipers, in order to protect their gods in case of a quick enemy invasion, while they're building their houses, would hide their idols in the walls of their houses with the hopes that perhaps if we get to come back, we can rescue our idols out of the walls where no one else can see them. They may be living in my house, but they don't know there's things in those walls of that house that they have no idea that on the construction of the house, I put that in the foundation of where that house was. They would hide them behind the stones and under the floor. And so because God knew this, he did not want his people living in houses with demonic articles tied to idol worship. And so this is why God sent a plague to reveal to the people what could not be seen by the naked eye. Listen, folks, we understand we are people that believe what we see. We can see things and we can tell someone's having a bad day or a good day. But I'm telling you, there are people that can come in among us and they can have a smile on their face and everything may seem okay. But when the preacher starts preaching the word of God, there goes something beyond the surface of who we are and touches the heart of man. And God reveals in us there are some things that we've got to deal with. There are some things we got to get rid of. There are some things that God says, I'm revealing it that you might deal with it. This is why God sent a plague of leprosy. Maybe not all the houses had it, but some of them, while they were scraping the house, while they began the process of removing stones, that all of a sudden behind one stone in particular is a little funny thing back there. What is that? They begin to deal with that, work with that thing. Well, that's a little golden idol there. I didn't know that. I was wondering why I had problems in my house. I was wondering why my family was not having joy and why our crops weren't growing. There's something in my house that I got to deal with. I'm praise God that God brought a plague in my life. You feel pain when preachers, oh, it hurts, steps on my toes. God begins to scrape some things in our life. When the man of God, appreciation day, man, thank God for a man of God preaches truth. When the man of God begins to speak in all these campus pastors, when you begin to preach the message of God, and all of a sudden what you're doing when you preach the word is more than preaching the word, but you are causing people to examine themselves. You're looking at people. So listen, some people don't care to get to heaven or hell. They don't really care. But for those that want to make heaven their home, they're going to say, man, pastor, I'm so glad that you didn't hold back. And you, come on, we still need to preach against sin. We still need to preach against unholiness. God is still looking for righteousness. God is still looking for people that want to make heaven their home. Praise God for a pastor that will preach the word of God. And when he preaches the word of God, it causes someone to go there and they begin to begin to pull some things away. They begin to scrape and remove stones. And these idols could be found during the demolition of the house. During the demolition, the repentant part of us, the prayer life of us, the moment we come to an altar, after the pastors preach, we come to the altar and we begin to remove stones and scrape things that we begin to see things in our life that the eye could not see. God did not want his people living in a leprous house where demonic spirits had been given liberty. So God wanted to expose the evil, the sin, and the idols, and he did it by sending a plague of leprosy. Sometimes pain is good. Some people are cursing the pain, but God says there's a reason why I put pain in your life, because I'm wanting to expose some things that if you deal with it, I will take care of your problems and the situations of your life, but you got to deal with them. Once you have been exposed and you see there's something in your life, you can't toy with it, you can't play around with it, you got to get rid of it. In Numbers chapter 33, the Lord told them, I want you to get rid of everything. He said, I want you to get rid of every little last bit of influence from those idol worshipers in your house. I don't want anything to remain that even looks like an idol worshiper used to live in your house. There's a problem when we keep doing the same things that God pulls out of the world of from doing, that we're okay with doing in the church. When the Lord saved you and he put his blood on you, there's some things that you don't look like. You may have the same tattoos, you may have all those things, but your lifestyle ought to be completely different than when God saved you. The Lord said, I want you to tear down the pictures. I mean, God, it's just a picture of a flower in a vase. What's the big deal? It's got influence on it. I want you to get rid of everything in your house. Why? Because he wanted to make sure there is no cohabitating unrighteous with righteous. You can't just be apostolic in name and then cohabitate with something in your house that the Lord's not happy with. Again, folks, I'm telling you, this wasn't what I first planned on bringing to you today. But I'm telling you, we've got to make sure that every part of our life is under the influence of the Holy Ghost. That means after you leave church from praying through, you got to go back home and say, man, God, there's some things I got to get rid of. There's some videos I shouldn't be watching. There's some people I'm dealing with. Oh, God, help me to remove those things out of my life. I want everything to be taken out. I want to be brought down to square one if that's the case. Because either it's one or the other. No man can have served two masters. Either he's going to love the one and hate the other. I believe today the problem with most Christians in their walk with God is they simply don't hate sin enough. They don't choose a sin, but they let it live around them. And leprosy doesn't just scare them anymore. They love what they feel at church, but they also keep things in their homes that have demonic ties. Things that we're holding on to that seem insignificant. I know it's crazy. It's just a locket. It's just something that someone gave me. I don't even wear it. It's just in my room. And I'm not being spooky. I'm not the kind of guy that says, oh, the angels told me and I saw it. I'm telling you, but there are influences that if we're not careful, we just let them live long enough. I told my church, man, my backyard is full of huge oak trees. I told my church, I can pull up any oak tree I want out of my backyard with my two little fingers. No way, Pastor, I can. If they're only this big, I can. But you let those things long enough. You let time long enough. You let the water sow them long enough. Pretty soon, what was so small to deal with at a small stage has become a little bigger. And at that point, if you don't want those leaves in your yard, you deal with it then. But at some point, if you keep ignoring it long enough and you don't check your backyard long enough, all of a sudden there is something there that you can't remove except by the Holy Ghost chainsaw. But I'm telling you, I'm glad I serve a God that's greater than my worst sin. I'm glad I got a God that has sent us pastors and preachers that can cut that stuff out of my life. God wants you to deal with it today. Because if you don't eventually deal with it, it's going to destroy you. People come to the altar. They pray through at the church altar. How many times have we gone to camp meeting or some sort of revival service and we get out on the altar and we pour our eyes out to God. We pour our heart out to God. And at that point in time, God deals with us with an issue. And we know that we got to go home and change. But something happens from the drive home from camp to home. That we just say, well, I'll just put it in my closet. I'll just talk to him randomly. We're not really going to be boyfriend, girlfriend. We're just going to be friends, you know. We're just going to keep in relationship. We'll just keep texting each other and just. But when God deals with you on one issue, it's on purpose because he loves you. Because he knows it's a snare. Listen, God is not out to kill your, he's not a joy kill. I don't want her to ever have a relationship. Of course he does. I don't want him to ever have a loving wife. Of course he does. But the person you're with right now might not be the right person for you. And if God's dealing with it, it's not just you being holier than thou. It's you being in connection with a God that loves you and is trying to remove things from you that you don't want to look at. You don't want to deal with it, but God says you can't run. You got to deal with the issue. We go to church, we worship God, but we go home to celebrate the altars of whatever we have altars of in our house. Social media, pornography, unchecked attitudes. Unchecked attitudes. The Bible says be angry and sin not. It's not a sin to be angry, but sin has a shelf life. And once sin is over, something else is in its place. It's called bitterness. And the preacher can preach as hard as he wants. And the Lord's trying to get you to remove some of this stuff out of your life, but you've let it sit there for so long that that bitterness has become an idol. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. This isn't a great church. We don't know each other very much. I love your pastor. I'm telling you something. If you allow bitterness to become a constant companion, there's only one thing that can happen. It will destroy you. Forgiveness does not release a person that committed that error to you. Forgiveness releases you from that problem that began in you. I'm telling you, God wants to give some healing this afternoon. God sent a preacher from Clawson, Michigan on this day to tell you, hey, I don't want you to live in bitterness. I don't want you to live in sin. I don't want you to live in hurt. But God is examining us. God is bringing grace and redemption and healing to us tonight. And what you need to do is simply be honest enough and let God allow him to expose the hidden things of your life. And when he does it, it's up to you to eradicate it out of your life. Not just for the day that you feel convicted about it. Because that conviction will leave. And then you pick it back up again. And you were good for a week. But you come back in the next Sunday, Pastor, I thought I had victory. It's because when God exposed it, when God shared it with you, when he dealt with you at the altar, you go back and you don't remove it out of your house. It brings you back again. Brings you back again and you deal with the same thing that God has said. I sent that preacher to you to show you the leprosy in your house and you still let it live. Me and Pastor Anthony have a friend of ours, and he told me a crazy, scary story. I'm going to share it with you. He was happily married to his wife, both college students, went to IBC. And in their marriage, my friend really got involved in online gaming. And he spent hours playing this online system online. He could play with other people and those things. And his wife says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm playing. This is cool. Try to join me. This looks stupid to me." He says, "Come on, it's fun." So they start, she starts playing. All of a sudden, she starts, "This is a really cool game." So his wife starts playing online gaming. And all of a sudden, he realizes, man, she's really good. And all of a sudden, he'd come home, and his wife is on the couch playing online gaming. He's not even there. He said, "I'd go to bed." I said, "Come on, time to go to bed. You know what? I'm just going to finish this game." He says, "So one night, I went up to bed, and I went to bed, and he said, I woke up with something sitting on my chest. It was an absolute presence on my chest. I could feel the weight of it. And that thing on my chest says, get rid of your online gaming." He says, "I got out of bed. I went downstairs, and my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning was still online gaming. I unplugged it from the house. I took that thing, and I put it in my closet." He says, "Stephen, I didn't get rid of it." He says, 6 months went by, a lot of peace in the home, things were good. I thought, I'm kind of bored. Maybe I'll just get that thing out of my closet and I'll just play it for a little while. And lo and behold, him and his wife started playing again. He came home one day and said, "My wife told me I'm leaving you and the kids. I met a boyfriend online. And she left him and his kids to meet some man she'd only met online. And they're not together to this day." And he tells me, if I would have just gotten rid of it, if I would have just taken it from my closet to the dumpster and let the dead bury the dead, I could possibly be having my wife with me now. But I did not listen when the presence of God said, get rid of it. I just let it stay close enough to get its hooks back in me. Listen, folks, you can fool people, but you can't fool God. You may fool the pastor and say everything's good, but God sees what's in the walls of our heart. God sees what's in our life. God sees what's in our soul. God sees what we're going through. God sees all these things. But I'm so glad today that you don't have to live that way. I'm not meaning to be a downer on this Pastor Appreciation Day. I'm telling you, what I am going to tell you is if you're going through those things, you have a God that's righteous. You have a God where sin abounds. Come on, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I don't care how many times you've fallen. I don't care how many far you've gone. There is the blood of Jesus. It's able to take away every sin stain. It can redeem you. It can help you. It can help you today. I'll be done here in just a few minutes. He doesn't expose the sin to judge us of our sin. He exposed it so we can deal with it together. Do you know what kind of God you serve? "Come now, let us reason together," he says. I want to reason with you. I went to the cross and showed my love to you. I want to reason with you. You came to the house of God. This was no accident today. You're here today. You said, "Well, maybe I'll just go to it." No, God knew you'd be here today. And he's trying to deal with it. He loves you so much. He wants to give you blessings. He wants to make you the head and not the tail. He wants to make you the lender and not the borrower. There's plans that God has for you. But before you can go to that next step in God, you've got to take care of the basic things that he shows you. John 2:1, I believe. "My little children, I write this to you that you sin not." You got the word of God. You got a preacher. We do what we do every Sunday because we don't want you to sin. We want you to deal with things. But I'm writing these things that you sin not, but if any man sin. But if the pastor's preaching is not good enough. If the word of God itself, when you read it, doesn't convict you and you get right. But if you do sin. Don't you love the word of God? When you're not perfect. When you have a stray thought. When you do something stupid. We had an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. There is a Savior. There is a presence that's moving this room. There is a God that says, "Hey, I know about it. I know about your sin. I know about your despair. But there is an advocate. There is a Savior. There is somebody that wants to save you and set you free this afternoon." However, we can stand to our feet right now. Come on, just wait on the Lord here for a moment, Jesus. Lord, help us today. Oh, God, do a deep dive into my heart today. Lord, do a deep dive into my soul. God, examine every part of me, Lord Jesus. Because I want to be right. 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 Come on, hell's not worth it, folks. What you're dealing with, come on, it's so small in comparison to eternity. Come on, the Lord is dealing right now. Come on, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Can take a second look at my life, Lord. Deal with my life right now, Jesus. God, let the words of God settle, Lord. God, I'm simply the messenger, Lord. This is your message. This is your word, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful people, Lord. But there's anybody here, Lord, anybody here in this house, Lord, that's dealing with something you're showing, you're revealing it right now, that's in their mind right now, God, one moment of them to let that down, casting their cares upon you because you care for them. One moment they can let those things down and not go back to them, and you will give them hope in that more abundantly and show them the way of life everlasting. Hallelujah, Jesus. The musicians want to come. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in thy way everlasting." You know what David is doing? He is removing some stones. God, get that stone out of my mind. Get that stone, Lord, remove these things. How can he get that? How can he pray like that? How can he be so honest with God? Lord, anything in me, Lord, just take it out, Lord. Deal with me. Search my heart. Because he thought at one point he had his sin covered. I'll marry the girl. I'll kill off the husband. And nobody will even know the difference. But you cannot hide from God. The flip-flops of Nathan beat the cobblestone manor. King, there's a man here to see you. Send him in. Nathan, my friend, good to see you, brother. Are we going to war today? No, no wars today, David. We're going to build some new wing on the church or the house of God. What are we going to do? Something great. No, no, there's a story I tell you, David. Okay, go ahead. You're a good storyteller. Rich man and a poor man live in one town. Rich man has all these sheep and these, you know the story. One poor man has one little sheep. That's all he's got. And the rich man took the poor man's sheep because he had a friend come in for dinner and took that one man's sheep, the only thing he had, and cooked it up and gave to his friend. David, being a shepherd at heart, was so angry. This man shall die and replace seven times this sheep that the man stole. And Nathan simply looked at him and said, "David, thou art the man. I took you from sheep coats. I made you great. And Uriah had one wife. And you had. And if you would have wanted something more, I would have given it to you." That's a stupid thing. If God, if you want more, God will bless you with it. But you took the one thing you thought you had covered, but God sees it. But praise God that the man of God didn't stop and say, "This is the king I'm talking to. If he doesn't like my words, I'm... Praise God for men of God and women of God that stand and preach the truth in a wayward world that's not popular, but because they love souls so much, they come to this pulpit and preach to you wonderful folks that there's something in your life, you got to deal with it today. If it's names out of your text Rolodex, take away the names. If it's a show that you love to watch and there's some things that you shouldn't be watching about it, but it's still funny, God's dealing with that today. When the Lord brings a man of God to preach to you, it's not the man to be honored, but it's the message that's preached that God says, I've dealt with you over and over again. The worst thing we can ever happen to us is when God stops dealing with us on the issue. When God says, I've brought you man after man after man, sermon after sermon after sermon, but yet you still refuse to heed the warnings of God. So, How do you cleanse it? You got to take two birds. Got to kill one bird. You got to put it in an earthen vessel. Hiss up running water. Take the blood of the bird that you killed, and you got to sprinkle it. There's always blood sprinkling to wash away sin. We've got water here in baptism in Jesus' name. The Bible says you want your sins to be washed away. It's got to happen in the name of Jesus through the waters of baptism. Aren't you glad you were baptized in Jesus' name? Everywhere in Scripture, Old Testament, you got to cover the house with blood. You got to cover the house with blood. You got to cover the house with blood. Take the blood of a bird and you got to sprinkle that, and then the house is made clean. The other bird is released into the field, but you got to take the blood of the bird. That was BC. That was before the cross of Calvary. That was before the precious blood of Jesus was spilled for our transgressions. Today, we don't have a cage full of birds waiting to cleanse you of your sin. But oh, we have the blood-stained banner. We have a Christ eternal in the heavens that when he gave his life, sat down on the right hand of God and is alive forevermore. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you glad for the redemptive work of Calvary? Aren't you glad that you've got a Savior that left heaven's splendor and came down to the earth because he loves you that much? If you're a guest with us, we're so glad you're here. If this is your first time being here, your pastor, the pastor will preach a much more loving message, I'm sure, next week. But today, God is calling for someone to deal with issues. And this is, listen, we are way too late in the hour to be afraid to be the first person to go down the altar. I grew up Pentecostal. I know how it is. If I'm the first one there, everyone's thinking he's talking right to me. I got to sit in my, no, who cares, man? If you're talking about your soul at stake here, you're talking about heaven and hell, I wouldn't care if I was displayed for the whole world to see. When you make that walk down the altar, you're telling God and the devil, hey, if I've got breath in my body, I still got hope. Why? Because God's a merciful God. Therefore, I will get out. I will make my way down that altar. I will let God deal with me. I'll let God take care of my problems because God is a loving and saving God. Potter's working on the clay, you know, and there's a mar. Everything looks good except that one spot. But because the potter is a perfectionist, he said, it ain't going to work. Breaks it down. And with the same lump of clay that he began with, he reworks it. In the old song, because he never throws the clay away, he begins to work that clay. Can I make you Israel? Like a potter can make this vase more beautiful than when I began. Oh, Pentecostal Church of Harvey and the respective campuses, can I do something with you that although you had a mar because you were honest and you stayed on the wheel, I brought you down to square one. I removed the plaster. I removed the stones. I removed the roof. Everything, the timbers. But guess what? You still have land to build on. And I'll begin to build all over again. I'm going to make you with hope. I'm going to make you new. I'm going to make you fresh. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to make you righteous. I'm going to make you with new hope and new outlook. Come on. You don't have to die a sinner. You don't have to be bound by what this world tells you. You need to be bound by. There is hope in Christ Jesus. The word has been spoken. We got music here. I wonder if these altars would be open if we'd come down and just raise our hands and give God some praise. Can we do that right now? Come on, no one's judging anybody here. Come on, we're all human. We all have issues. We all have things in our life. Oh, God, deal. Deal with me, oh, God. God created me a clean heart, oh, God. Renew a right spirit within me.